The only way I become a customer is to make a choice. I choose you instead of the other alternatives. And we often forget that, right? We often think, oh, what can we do to attract customers? Well, we have to do something that is so distinctive they choose us instead of the other players in the marketplace. And you nailed it. You said it exactly right. It is, what can we do that makes people feel that is so compelling that they choose us?
Helping you create loyal customers and loyal employees, all through the power of simplicity. This is the Simple Brand Podcast, now heard around the world, including Tallinn, Estonia. I'm your host, Matt Lyles, and this week I'm talking with Scott McCain. Scott's a globally recognized authority on how organizations and professionals create distinction to attract and retain customers. And Scott's not just an international keynote speaker. He's actually one of the few that's been inducted into the Professional Speakers Hall of Fame. And he's one of only 24 members of the Sales and Marketing Hall of Fame. So you know he's a master at his craft. And Scott's the author of 8 best-selling customer experience books, including his latest, The Ultimate Customer Experience. 5 steps everyone must know to excite your customers, engage your colleagues, and enjoy your work. It just released this week. Now, I'm sure you know this by now. The level where we connect with customers has never been more important. Scott and I discuss 5 steps that'll deliver an ultimate experience and help you connect with your customers and win their loyalty every single time. So here it is. Here's my interview with Scott McCain. Hi, Scott. Welcome to the show.
Man, thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you. It really is. I've looked forward to this for a while, so I can't wait.
I have too. I think the first time that I got to see you speak in person, I believe, was at the NSA conference this past summer with the High Point University speaker.
Right. Yeah. That was such a thrill to get a chance to do that. I've been friends with Dr. Nito Cobain, who's the president of High Point University for a long, long time, and well before he got involved with the university. And so the fact that after he became president, he asked me to be involved with what they're doing there, it's just such a privilege. And I get a chance to get back to campus 3-4 times a year, and working with the students there has just been, it's one of the great thrills of my life to get a chance to do that and contribute there.
I've been getting more information from them and seeing the faculty there, from you to Dean Kane, my friend Deanne Turner. It's really cool seeing what all is offered at that school. And I was sharing this earlier. My oldest son, he's 13. And so I'm now starting to think, I might want to see if that's a viable school for him to go to after high school.
I'm ready to enroll right now. Makes me want to go back, get an advanced degree. It's just an amazing place. And as you mentioned, I always feel like it's like that kid's song. One of these things is not like the other, right? Because you see the list of Steve Wozniak of Apple and Mark Randolph of Netflix. And like you said, Deanne, who is absolutely delightful. She is just extraordinary. And all the people that they have as members of the in-residence faculty. And then I see my name. People go, who is that? But one of the things that the school is so big on, and I think it really relates to what we're focusing on today, is that the life skills are as important to our success as the academic skills. We can have the academic skills, and we really, really need that. But if we don't know how to apply them where we work, if we don't know how to use them to serve customers and colleagues, then part of what we've learned academically is not of value to the organizations that hire us, or to us as if we decide to be entrepreneurs. So the focus that they have there on learning from people outside the typical academic structure, while having incredible professors and incredible curriculum, it's just an amazing place. It truly is extraordinary.
And that's one of the things that really stands out to me that impresses me so much about the school. But when we think about all those things and all the life skills, I think one of the best life skills that anybody can have really is how to create experiences that make other people feel special, whether it's with your family or friends or people in your network, or whether it's in your business and your employees and your customers. And that's something that you've been speaking about and teaching about for quite a while.
For a while, yeah. Well, the funny thing is that it all kind of goes back. I grew up in a very rural community in southern Indiana, about 30 miles north of Louisville, Kentucky. I'm from Crothersville, Indiana. And my mom and dad owned the one grocery store in Crothersville when I was a kid. And all of a sudden, a big supermarket comes into our town. And talk about a change. I mean, so many businesses face that today, a change in competition, a change in pricing pressures. They could always sell a loaf of bread or a gallon of milk cheaper than we were going to be able to at our little store. And one of the things, it's always amazing to me how much smarter your parents become the older you are. You know, I look back now, and the things that my folks did, particularly my dad did in that store, I look back now with amazement. He didn't have an MBA. He didn't have a college degree. He changed the whole thing into focusing on the experience. And he joked that even if you bought a pack of gum, we were going to offer to carry it out to your car for you. You know, we were just going to serve you to death. And he did all these things that created a better experience for customers. And several years later, the supermarket closed its doors and left town. You never hear of that. And the incredible thing to me about that is it wasn't based on having a cheaper product. They sold milk, we sold milk. They sold bread, we saw bread. It was just about what was the experience that we created and my family created for customers. And I that was just such a lesson for me in life. And it's not just about a small business. It's about any and every business. The customers, the only way I become a customer is to make a choice. I choose you instead of the other alternatives. And we often forget that, right? We often think, oh, what can we do to attract customers? Well, we have to do something that is so distinctive they choose us instead of the other players in the marketplace. And you nailed it. You said it exactly right. It is what can we do that makes people feel that is so compelling that they choose us.
Yeah, that's it. Well, you know, and that's looking at how a small business owner delivered experiences to customers that created loyal customers decades ago. I've got to think that customer expectations have been changing since that time, and maybe even, and especially in the past few years. So how do you see customer expectations having changed?
Customer expectations have elevated, but the basic premise is still the same. And that is that we want to feel an emotional connection where we do business. Otherwise, it's just transactional, right? If we think that people are buying from us because of our price, then all I have to do is lower my price and I steal your customer. If we think it's about product quality, then all I have to do is improve the product quality incrementally and I steal your customer. So what is harder to define, but critically more important, is what are the emotions? What are the connections that we're making that transcend transaction so that there's some type of emotional connectivity? Loyalty is only created through emotion. Why would I be loyal to your business, regardless of size, if I don't care about it? And I feel like you don't care about me. There's really no reason for me to be loyal to something I don't care about. I don't buy season tickets for a sports team that I could care less if they win or lose. You know, I only buy the tickets to the teams I really, really want to see. I don't buy a ticket to a concert for a band that I hate their music. It's the bands that their music has connected with. And the same is true in every business. We have to find the ways that we can connect on a more visceral, more emotional level with our customers. And people say, yeah, but I'm B2B. No, the Harvard says the main change in B2B customer expectations is it's changed to be more like B2C.
Right.
In other words, we still want that emotional connectivity. We still want that level of customer experience, even if I'm representing the XYZ company trying to buy widgets from some supplier out there.
Yeah. And even in a B2B scenario, that you're still selling or managing a relationship with an individual person or even a team of people. So I like to think of it as it's not really B2C or B2B. It's P2P. It's people to people.
Absolutely. Absolutely right. That's exactly it. And once we lose sight of that, because we get so involved with everything else, that's where the loyalty that we have with our customers begins to erode. And there's only two things that makes a successful business. It's repeat customers and referral customers, right? I mean, that's what makes a successful business. You can't have a sustainable business based on people buying once, and then you never see them again. And that's part of what we have to focus on is how do we, once we get people to buy from us once, which is through creating distinction and standing out, right, how do we make sure they come back? And how do we create an experience that's so compelling that they say, hey, you've got to come back. I had the chance to spend a little bit of time once with James Cameron. And I was, you know, here he directs the
director.
Yeah. He's directed Titanic, which was the biggest movie of all time. And then his next movie is Avatar, which becomes the biggest movie of all time. And I said, when you look back on Titanic, he said, well, that's the biggest sale of all time. And I said, well, what do you mean? He said, can you imagine being a producer going to the studio saying, I need more money than you've ever given for the production of any movie in history? It's a story that everybody knows how it ends, and there's no chance of a sequel. May I have the check, please? He said, it's the greatest. He said, pardon me not being very shy about this. It's the greatest sales job of all time. But I said, okay, so given those parameters, how did it become the most successful movie? He said, well, first of all, it connected emotionally.
Yeah.
But it connected emotionally so much when we looked at the data, people were coming back to see it again when it was in the theaters. And when they would come back, they would bring somebody. And the light bulb went on over my head. I'm like, every business needs that. You create an experience so compelling to the customer that they come back. And not only do they come back, they either tell somebody, man, you've got to go here, or they bring them. And then it just continues to expand, and your business becomes extraordinarily successful.
Yeah. And having your customers to share your story, to share that with other people and then bring them into it. Like that's the best kind of marketing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because I can watch an ad, I can see a pop-up online, and it creates awareness. But if you say, hey, Scott, man, I got to tell you, I use this and it's helped my business, or, you know, it's helped my life, or all of a sudden now it's not just awareness. Now it's engagement. And what more can we want? Because when friends tell us about it, we trust them. When people who don't have skin in the game are still recommending it, we have a higher level of trust. And one of the things that businesses that I see, really many of them aren't grasping this, is it used to be if I had a bad experience, I may say, man, you cannot believe I went to this restaurant and the food was cold and the service was slow. And so then you wouldn't go.
Right.
Now I can get on Yelp. I can get on Google reviews. I can tell the world about it.
Yeah.
And my review is trusted because I'm not being paid. I'm not being compensated. I'm not an endorser. This is what I really feel. And so businesses have to be more concerned about the customer experience than at any point in history.
Oh yeah. And I can't recall the exact stats, but I believe like what I've seen recently is over the past handful of years, certainly trust in politicians, trust in media, but also now trust in brands is at an all-time low.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're exactly right. And partner with that, a recent study that said over 60% of customers would not give you a second chance if they have one bad experience. That shocks me, because for a long time, we assumed, hey, we can make it right for a customer. We can fix it. Over 60% of them won't even come back a second time if they have one inferior experience. So it's one of the chapters of the new book. Customers don't want you to make it right. They want you to get it right. And getting it right, that's of primary importance, because we may not get a second chance to serve them, to profit from them.
That's right. Yeah. You won't get a second chance with them. And then because of that, you don't get a first chance with all the other referrals they might be bringing.
I just had an interesting conversation on LinkedIn, and I got a thing. It was just spam, right?
Oh.
And it said, hey, you know, and all they'd done is just go pick a bunch of people. And it said, hey, Scott, have you ever thought about writing a book? And I wrote back and I said, you know, it's funny you say that. My 8th is coming out in very shortly. And I said, did it ever occur to you that you need to know who you're sending to? The guy wrote back and he said, you don't understand sales. Sales is a numbers game. I send these out and it's just about the numbers. Here was my response. No, you don't understand sales, because if it's true what you say, it's a numbers game, all you're looking at is how many people respond to the total number of spam emails you put out there. Here's the missing point. Most sales are not made on the first contact. Depending on what study you look at, it's somewhere between the seventh and the ninth contact. How many people are blocking you, as I'm about to do, and you never get the second chance? You don't know all the numbers, because if I block you because it's so spammy that you don't get a second chance, then you have no chance of making the sale that studies show is made on the seventh to ninth contact. So if you don't know what you're doing, don't say it's a numbers game and then not know the numbers. And I think that's part of the problem. We have so many of these bro salespeople out there that are hammer them and keep pushing and spam them into submission. And, yeah. And it just doesn't work with today's buyer.
And I see that mindset from a number of salespeople too, that yeah. It's a numbers game. So spray it out and you may get a 1% response rate, but hold, like, look at that. You get 1%, one person out of 100 to respond, like, then focus on that one person. But then my thought is, if you just, to your point, if you just step back, take the time to get to know the people that you're reaching out to, really target your approach and get 10 really good targets. Absolutely. If you were to get one person out of that 10, that's a much higher response.
Absolutely. And what would it have taken him to have gone through? And if you see in the LinkedIn bio, my eighth book is coming out shortly. You know, now what if the guy would have written me and said, hey, Scott, I see you got a book coming out shortly. I deal with new authors. Could you give me 3 tips that I could share with new authors? Then I would follow up and go, well, that's really a worthy endeavor. Tell me more about what you're doing to help inspire new authors, because I remember what it's like to be coming with your first book and all that kind of thing. And it just drives me crazy how some people just teach this spray and pray approach to marketing, because we've reached the end of it. We're all turned off by it now.
Yeah, we are. We're turned off by all these experiences, but there are some companies, there are some brands, there are some people that are getting it right. They're creating and delivering what you call the ultimate customer experience. So walk me through it. How do you define the ultimate customer experience?
The ultimate customer experience is an experience that is so compelling that customers are driven not only to repeat their business, but to refer you elsewhere, and you become the go-to. When people say, I wouldn't go anyplace else but, and the other thing is, it is such an extraordinary experience that you transcend your category. In other words, I wish that there were other businesses that run their business like the experiences that I've had at the Fairmont Scottsdale Princess or St. Elmo's Steakhouse in Indianapolis or other ones that I could name. When I'm saying, you know, I spoke to a group of financial advisors earlier this week, and part of what I was telling them is you're asking people to invest their life savings with you. If they're getting a better experience at Ritz-Carlton than they are putting hundreds of thousands of dollars in your trust, something's wrong. Because one of the things you talked about, how consumer behavior and evaluation has changed. One of the things we found out in a study that we did is that customers blend. They don't evaluate you on a category specific basis.
Right.
In other words, if I had a fabulous experience at this place, I don't go, oh, what a great experience for a hotel or a financial advisor or a car dealer. I just go, man, that was an awesome experience. And therefore, I'm judging you not against your competitor down the street. I'm judging you against the totality of great experiences that I've had. So one of the things I told these financial advisors, for example, is your competition isn't Merrill Lynch, it's Ritz-Carlton.
Yep.
I tell Porsche dealers, your competition isn't Lamborghini, it's what they're doing at the Four Seasons. It's what they're doing any place where I get an experience that's so compelling that I got to share it. And I think that's what a lot of businesses are making, a problem, a mistake they're making, is that they're benchmarking themselves against their specific industry competition, not how the customers are benchmarking their performance.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. The customers are comparing you to every other great experience that they're having. And I used to teach that to leaders, you know, and I would also reference Ritz-Carlton. I would reference Domino's Pizza. If you can watch your Domino's Pizza and track it being delivered, coming to you, like, you know, coming through your neighborhood, they expect that with everything else that's being delivered to them. But it never hit me until now to actually say, and you've got to take it a step further. You've got to be the one that all the customers compare their brands that they're experiencing with against you. Wow, Scott McCain does this for me. Why can't you do that for me?
Yeah, and that becomes part of the goal. But one of the challenges that we get into, man, and I see this, and I'm sure you do with your clients as well. For some reason, once we go to work, we put on the work mindset. You know, I think of it like a cap. You know, it just kind of controls everything coming in, right? I did some work years ago with the Fairmont Scottsdale Princes, and Jack Miller is the CEO there, and had conversations, and he was telling me about some of the conversations they had. So I stimulated some of them. Hopefully they had a lot of them internally. So the question is, how do you stand out from every other resort in Scottsdale?
Right.
Well, okay. So you don't make a resort better. You break it down into, how do we create a distinctive front desk? What's the ultimate customer experience at check-in? Then what's the ultimate, you know, bell person experience, taking your luggage through the room. You've got to break it down into those steps and get very granular. So quick example. So we started talking, okay, what's the ultimate lobby experience? What's the ultimate experience that you'd have in a hotel lobby? And right away, everybody's thinking, oh, we could buy more beautiful ornate chandeliers and we could put more marble in. Well, from the view of the customer, checking in a hotel on a business trip, it's just something we've done a million times. And oh, there's more marble, more, there's more. Yeah. I want to be home. It's always funny when I go back home, people go, oh, you're going to be in Phoenix. Will you see the Grand Canyon? It must be so. No, I'm going to see the lobby of the hotel, my room, back to the lobby of the hotel, back to the airport, right? So how do you make that unique? So what do you miss at home? So one of the things that they did, they got two golden retrievers. They trained them. They named them Bigsby and Gibbs. And you walk in the lobby and these golden retrievers, you see their tails start wagging because the new guest is there. Now, the trainer is very great and their training has been great. So, you know, it has to be, oh, can I pet them or can I? They come up to you. You pet the dogs. They welcome you. They even have it now that they go with the bellman to take your luggage to the room, you know, and all of that. So you feel very connected. So then we think the next step. Okay, so That's a different experience. That's distinctive. That's ultimate. We want you to feel like this is your home away from home. This isn't a hotel. It isn't a resort. It's your home away from home. So then how do you extend that experience? So they created a coloring book that they give the guests to take home for their kids. Here's Bigsby and Gibbs, and here's the coloring book, and it's the story about them. So now the parent goes home and tells the kids the story of the hotel. Next step, what if we created these plush figures, you know, these little toys that you could take home to your kids or the dogs? So the next trip, they have a certain percentage of guests that are spending $32 per dog. Most of them buy both. So you're spending $64 in the gift shop to get them the picture of the dog that they colored from the last trip. The unintended consequence is now when parents are saying to their kids, well, where would you like to go on vacation? I want to go meet Bigsby and Gibbs. So the kids are bringing the parents there to the resort for a vacation type stay. They've become distinctive. They're delivering an ultimate customer experience because it transcends the category. It creates a uniqueness there that is far beyond what you find at just your typical hotel, your typical resort. But again, it came from thinking, what is ultimate for the customer, not what can we do to make ourselves look better? That's an essential component.
And so before that first time visit and then visiting and seeing the dogs in the lobby, to me, that helps create like a really good emotional connection. It makes them feel like home. But then something else with the coloring book and bringing the coloring book back home to the kids, that does something else that a lot of brands fail at, is making their customer the hero. And whether, so you may be traveling there on a business trip, but we are going to make you the hero to your kids by giving you something special to bring back to them.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And to piggyback on that, and they make it easy, right? I mean,
yes.
They make it so easy because here's the coloring book. There's not a hassle involved there. Here's the coloring book. Here's the toys in the gift shop that ties into it. It's so accessible and so easy. The customer doesn't even really have to think about it. And I'm a big believer in the stories are what we have to focus on, because that's yes. what connects us emotionally. With my first book was All Business is Show Business, because it related to, I was doing movie reviews as my side hustle, so to speak. But I got to interview and spend time with the folks like Arnold Schwarzenegger and Tom Hanks and Jim Cameron and on, and asking them about, you know, about story and about what made it compelling and successful, and how could we move that into business. And that's it, because stories connect with us emotionally. I'm not connected emotionally with the, you know, the gallon of milk that's X dollars this week, but I am connected emotionally with the checkout person that remembers my name and asks how I'm doing. And so that's where I go to buy the gallon of milk. So these are the kinds of things that make a significant difference for organizations.
That's it. That's it. Well, so you've mentioned connecting emotionally earlier, mentioned about getting it right instead of just making it right. Those are a couple of steps that you talk about in the ultimate customer experience. So what are the other steps? What are all the five steps in creating and delivering an ultimate customer experience?
Well, as you said, we talked about one: don't make it right, get it right. A second one is that you deal with people with empathy. And that's where kind of the story comes in about the dogs. It's being empathetic to, you know, every customer wants the business to solve their problem. But the second step that we often overlook is it's hard to solve a problem you don't empathize with. In other words, when we think the customer wants a nice check-in experience, we think it means they want an ornate lobby. They want a technology to get them to the room quick. But there's something else we're looking for as well. And the empathy of the constant traveler that just has been through this a million times, what can we do that makes them feel more at home?
Yeah.
See, that's the other aspect of the dog thing. It emphasizes that we have empathy for what your daily routine is going to be. Then we connect with emotion. After we serve with empathy, we connect with emotion. And that's finding something personal that makes a difference. You mentioned it. You talk about Ritz-Carlton. I've talked about Ritz-Carlton. You know, one of the things that they do there is to keep, for example, is to keep a list. Now, they won't share the list with you, but they share it with other Ritz-Carltons. For example, if they come into the hotel room, if the housekeeper comes in the hotel room and notices that you've got smooth jazz still playing on the clock radio, they make a note of that so that when you check in at another Ritz-Carlton, the radio is tuned to a smooth jazz station. So that I wrote in one of my books that I my best client at the time, his favorite wine was Duckhorn Cabernet. And I had another speaker say, well, I'd sure know his favorite wine if I had a client spend as much money with me as he spent with you. And I said, no, you're missing the point. I don't know that because he's my best client. He became my best client because I knew things like that. And that's the connection. That's the connection with emotion. It's serving with empathy, connecting with emotion. And the last one I think is probably the most important, and that's take personal responsibility. And that's the one that I see missing so much today, is that we want to think somebody else is responsible, where we have to take the personal responsibility to make certain that the customer has an extraordinary experience. I was speaking in conjunction with the Disney Institute. We were both doing a thing for talking about client swag. We were both doing a thing for Volkswagen, right? In Florida. And they introduced this gentleman. He was just there to hear our talks. Come find out the guy was in his 80s, but he had worked at Disneyland the day it opened. And they asked him what was his biggest memory of that. And he said, my biggest memory was the day before I see, you know, nobody's at the park, right? Hadn't opened yet. And I'm walking along and Walt Disney is walking towards me. And he said, I'm terrified. You know, I don't do I speak to him or is he too? And he said, there was a piece of paper that was on the ground and Walt Disney bent over, picked up the piece of paper and took it and deposited it in the trash. Then he came up to me and said, hi, my name's Walt. What's yours? He said about 3 weeks later, I'm walking. Now the park is jam packed the whole bit. I'm walking and Walt Disney is walking along and he says, Frank, everything okay? Oh, he said, and I said, wow, what a great man. He said, what a great leader. Because if Walt Disney could pick up trash and remember my name, how could I expect anything less of myself? And so I think that's part of what we have to instill is that everybody has to be able to take personal responsibility. As a culture, maybe we haven't been real great at that over the last few years. So it's up to us as business leaders to make certain that we make certain our people know that, that they have the authority and the responsibility to take care of our customers and to do the things that it takes. I've got tons of stories on that, several in the new book, but it's not about CEOs. It's about a bellman at a hotel. It's about a waiter at a restaurant. If they do or do not take personal responsibility, how many times have you eaten out and the waiter blames the kitchen? The bellman blames the management, or it's always somebody else's fault. And as customers, we just want our meal. We just want our bags to get to the room. We don't care. We just want to, you know, and it, at some point, the extraordinary organizations develop extraordinary people, and you can't be an extraordinary person without taking personal responsibility for how you deal with customers.
Yeah. And even at a larger level, even at an enterprise level, sometimes if you think about all the interactions that a customer has, they may have a term you use, they may have a hassle at some point with some interaction. And this team over here says, well, that's not really our fault. That's accounting. That's, you know, that's finance did that. So our hands are off of that. Well, no, it's still the brand. You know, the customer doesn't care which team's at fault or which individual's at fault. It's the brand's fault.
You're exactly right. And that's a fundamental challenge because organizations are structured vertically. We have our accounting department. Right. We have our sales department. We have our marketing department. But the customer experiences is horizontally. And when they fall in that crack, marketing promised this, but what I got delivered was this. It's exactly like you say, is they say that's not within our vertical, not realizing the customer is experiencing us in a different dimension. And until we fix that, we can't deliver an ultimate customer experience.
Yeah. And then I want to go back to the Walt Disney story for just a moment here, because when it comes to having your employees take personal responsibility, I think there's a big difference in sending all your communication, all your training around telling your frontline employees, here's how you take personal responsibility. There's a big difference between that and then actually modeling that behavior.
Yes.
When you're, whatever level of leadership you're at, never being too big for you to be the one taking personal responsibility and showing that to your people.
Totally agree. I had an experience a while back and I was speaking to an organization and I struck up a conversation with this guy and I hadn't gone on yet. He said, oh, you're the speaker, you know, say I am. And I said, let me know what you think of the speech after it's over. He said, oh, I won't be here. I'm the CFO. I have nothing to do with customers. And I should have bit my tongue, but my response is, so where does the financial in the F come from? If it doesn't come from customers, what? Well, I'm just not at that level. I'm not. And there's the problem. If everyone, and I work with some organizations where the CEO says, well, go do that customer stuff. And the organization knows that it's a temporary initiative or it's transitory. I work with other organizations where the CEO sits in the front row at the sessions and takes notes And so everybody gets involved and everybody gets engaged. And if you don't do that, how do you expect your people to be? It's exactly what you're saying. I mean, people knew that Walt Disney was committed to the park being clean and people being served because they saw him do it.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, that CFO, I hope that at that event or any other time that their leadership didn't try to tell their employees that they're a customer-centric company.
Oh, isn't that the truth?
Because if you've got a team that basically says, yeah, we don't worry about the customer, then you're not centering everything around the customer.
Yeah. And, you know, that's part of the reason I wrote, my publisher challenged me to write this book, is that I see so many organizations where at high levels in the organizations, they have planned with intricate precision the customer journey map and all of the very technical aspects of service. They've signed multi-million dollar contracts to survey customers and to do all of the research into what motivates somebody to buy. And the people on the front line have no idea what they're supposed to be doing. In part because the world is changing. Many of us are working remotely, or there's such great turnover in organizations. And somewhere there's this disconnect. And that was the goal of this book, is that those five things, nobody that's been in the customer experience field is going to learn a doggone thing from that. Now, maybe we need a refresher sometimes of the basics. We all do, no matter what we do.
Right.
But the goal with this book was very different. And that was, here is a book that you could give to every employee about the five things they really need to know, because all the other things are to serve these five things. Getting it right, serving with empathy, connecting with emotion, taking personal responsibility. Those are the kinds of things that truly make the difference. And so this is the first book I've ever written that's really for everybody in the organization, and particularly for the front line and the folks that manage them.
Yeah. And that when you position it that way, position it to, it's not really just for the customer experience people, it's for everybody else. Then hopefully everyone instills it, all the teams, all the employees. And that's when it is possible to get it right. Yep. Get it right that first time.
Absolutely.
Well, I got one last question for you before we leave. If you were to create a 5-song soundtrack for the ultimate customer experience, what songs would you include?
I have been thinking about this so much, and I have some that are kind of honorable mention that are ones that, you know, that everybody would think of given the economic situation and the pandemic we previously went through. I Will Survive by Gloria Gaynor might have been one. Eye of the Tiger obviously is one that people think of, but I've got 5. Beautiful Day by U2.
Ah.
What can we do to make it a beautiful day for our customers? And if you notice in the lyrics of the song, it even starts out as not being a pleasant day in terms of what the weather is and what the personal situation is, but it's remembering that every day is a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day. And so I love that one because that's what we're trying to create for our customers. I've got 2 by my favorite band. Take It to the Limit by the Eagles is one of my all-time favorite songs, because it is about not accepting mediocre. I mean, that the ultimate means taking it to the limit, right? I mean, that's a real inspiring song. I had many years ago the privilege of, it was before he joined the Eagles, I was a disc jockey at the small town in Southern Indiana, and we had Rick Nelson and the Stone Canyon Band at our county fair. And I'm like 15, 16 years old. And the bass player said, yeah, this is my last gig before I move on. Some buddies of mine and I are starting a band. So if you ever see anything by the Eagles, that's going to be our name. And the guy's name is Randy Meisner. And,
oh, wow.
He was the bass player for Rick Nelson, then left that and joined the guys that were backing up Linda Ronstadt. And that's the guy who wrote and sings Take It to the Limit. So that's always made an impression on me. My best buddies in the world are in a band called Diamond Rio, a country music band. And their first hit, by the way, the very first in country music history, where the band released a song and their first song went to number one. First time that ever happened. And the song was Meet in the Middle. And I think that's what we need to do sometimes as we deal with customers and as customers deal with their teams, is it can't be my way or the highway. We've got to figure out a way that we can meet in the middle and work together and find ways to make great things happen. My all-time favorite song, this is the fourth one. My all-time favorite song is also by the Eagles, and it's called One of These Nights. And One of These Nights to me is about hope. Something good is going to happen. One of these nights is going to. So I think we have to have hope that we can make things better. That's the fifth one is the one that might shock you. It's a Miley Cyrus song. It's Flowers.
Okay.
Because when she talks about I can buy myself flowers, it means she's taking personal responsibility. I can do this for myself. And when it comes to the ultimate customer experience, as we've said here, it is that taking personal responsibility. It is saying, I will take it on myself to make certain that we are delivering for this customer. And I love the attitude of that song is that I can buy myself flowers. I can take personal responsibility for my happiness, for my success. And I think that same rule applies to how people deal with customers. So those are the five. One of these nights, meet in the middle, take it to the limit, flowers, beautiful day. You put those together and you have kind of an ultimate customer experience playlist.
That's it. Yeah, I love that. And I love hearing the explanation of flowers around that because it all, to me, that also speaks to empowerment.
Yeah, like yes.
Not only should you take the responsibility, but you're also empowered to do that. And that speaks to how we need to empower our employees to be able to deliver that experience.
You betcha.
And when you do it, it's a beautiful day for your customers. And if it's a beautiful day for your customers, it's a beautiful day for you too.
Yeah, yeah.
Scott, I have learned so much from you. I've learned so much from the lessons from your book, but where can people go to learn more?
Just scottmccain.com has the links to everything. My last name is spelled just a little bit differently. It's MCKAIN. And if you go to scottmccain.com, you'll find everything there about blogs and free things you can download and a little bit more information on the new book coming as well.
Awesome. Lots of great resources, lots of lessons, and I'll include that in the show notes too. Well,
I appreciate
Scott,
that. Thanks.
Thank you so much for your time. I'm so grateful.
Oh, my privilege, man. I really appreciate it. Look forward to seeing you in person, too, down the road very soon.
Great.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed my discussion with Scott McCain. So you can go and learn more from him at scottmccain.com. You'll find lots of lessons and resources to help you level up your customer experience. And if you want to go even deeper into the lessons we discussed today, then be sure and grab your copy of his book, The Ultimate Customer Experience. It just released this week. And if you're enjoying the Simple Brand podcast, go ahead, hit the subscribe button. It's going to make it so much simpler for you to get future episodes like the next one featuring Joey Coleman. Joey was on the Simple Brand podcast back in episode 73, where he talked about how to attract and retain loyal customers. This time he's back with his new book, Never Lose an Employee Again, The Simple Path to Remarkable Retention. It comes out next week. So go ahead and subscribe. You'll automatically get Joey's episode as soon as it's live. Until then, keep it simple.